Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be here in your presence with these people, Lord, knowing that you are in the midst of even two or three who are gathered in your name, being in your name, Lord, not just some form or some little formula that we think we have, but literally being in your name, which we have of you tonight because we are called by your name and we are part of that name which you received by inheritance and now by grace we have received. And so, since this is so, we are right at ease and we're very happy with the comfort of God in our lives. And we pray for this sister, Lord, removed from us, but the very fact she is not with us makes it all the easier to pray for her, because we feel nothing of the power of the enemy, feel nothing of the power that lies in destruction in the human body, and therefore we're able to exercise greater faith and just command the thing to leave her in the name of Jesus Christ from this moment on, that she be absolutely delivered, for which we thank you, O God. We thank you, Lord, that you'll be with us in the delivery of your word to show us those things we surely ought to know, because that's what it's all about tonight. We commend ourselves, therefore, to your care, every single one of us, to your wisdom and to your knowledge. And we thank you that we can do this because this is our only hope. It's our only plea, and we're grateful it is, because we wouldn't want it any other way. We just wouldn't, because this is grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we'll just try to keep the level of the speaker just right, hopefully, because I'm going to try to keep my voice down and keep from straining because of the service yet tomorrow night. And not that tonight isn't important. Every night's important. Every time the Word of God comes forth, it's important. But I'm having a kind of a bit of struggle in these meetings. It's nothing to do with you. As I've explained, it has everything to do with me. Because up home, I'm home so much of the time now, I'm into a series that makes me very happy just to... I kind of hogwall it, to tell you the truth. It's just nice to be home on my, I almost said bar stool, but it's a draftman's stool. Is this everything right? Can you hear? Well, you better keep it up, because I don't want to get... You know, you put it louder, because you'll get me nervous if you don't. Is that better?
That's more better, yeah.
I'll tell you when to lower it, when I get excited, which I likely will. So you just keep it. That's good. You keep it that way. I can hear myself this way, and if I can't hear myself, I get nervous. That's it? Okay. Well, anyway, you see, I can sort of hog wallow back home. I get on my draftman stool, and I kind of relax. I sit back, and if I get too excited, I get off my chair. You know, like Whistler's grandma gets off her rocker every now and then. I get off my chair, and I can't help myself. But in the meantime, I got roughly 30 hours behind me of teaching, and you get roughly 30 hours behind you, then you... it's just difficult to swing into another type of message. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. So you kind of bear with me, and tonight I'm going to be in hot water. Because I'm going to preach a message, and I should have left these notes at home. I'm going to preach a message tonight that shoots right from the hip or the lip and the heart, whatever you want to say. And I don't want to get excited. See, the subject is loathing or loving. Loathing or loving. And we're going to go into it. See, this was a message I didn't dare to preach for a while back home. And finally, I got to it. Now, I hope by the grace of God that I can restrain myself from commenting, and I believe I can. Just reading the scripture and then going into that which I have in my mind. Numbers 11, 4 to 9. And the mixed multitude. The mixed multitude that was among them. Now, you will notice that it says, oh, boy. No use, Jack. You preach, boy. Get me off the hook here. It doesn't say that there was a mixed multitude per se. It says a mixed multitude was amongst them. So there was a them that was okay. And there was a bunch in the middle of them that wasn't okay. Otherwise, language means nothing. And the mixed multitude that was amongst them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, and there's no fish in the desert. And they didn't have deep freezes. Camel caravans are not too well equipped as instruments of deep freezes. How'd you like to be reduced to that? My wife and I, who cares about preaching? My wife and I were together. 68 years of age, should have more brains. Should get nice and thin. Two big deep freezes full to the brim. Two great big refrigerators full to the brim. What for? We're spoiled rotten. And everybody that visits us is spoiled rotten. We got used to way of life. Would you believe if I told you that I believe, from what I've gone through, my experiences the last 30 years, that if I had to, I could lie in a ditch? I hope I can. Dr. Bosworth told me years ago, he said, you know, Brother Vail, we were on the road and we had to live as cheap as we could. We never wanted to be a burden on the people. We heard that wheat had everything in it that you needed to have good health. So he said, I bought bushels of wheat at 25 cents a bushel. He said, for 2 years we ate wheat. Now he said, look, he said, mind you, it was fine, but I wouldn't want to do it again. I don't know that I want to go back to $39 a week and 20% off the top of that. My wife and I are going around the country looking for Howard Johnson, which we wouldn't anymore because we don't like them. Because they had the best rye bread and the best cup of coffee until we could get a hamburger. We didn't die. But let me tell you something. There was no fish out there in the desert. They were coming out to go in. What about you? Some of you people don't know anything about life at all. You've never been there. See, look, I've been through a depression. God help me from ever going through a 39 again. But what if I have to? What if you have to? What are you going to be like? How much can you take now and there's not even a squeeze? Now, I'm not up here as a fount of wisdom, but I'm going to tell you something. I've been where I don't think anybody in this congregation has ever been. See, that's why that I can eyeball you and I won't let anybody you talk back to me. Till you've been where I've been, you don't dare talk back to me and I wouldn't allow you. I just say, get out. And that may sound uncharitable. You try and find out. You just test me and see. See, when Jesus came down, he'd been where nobody else had been. That's why he went through the temple like a tornado. I'm not making myself Jesus. I'm letting you know something. There's a reality. And that reality stems from the head who is our God, who became incarnated in the flesh. And you go through things. Now, these people here murmured. There's no fish in the desert. No deep breezes. I deliberately stayed and got home yesterday at 5 o'clock to see the bushmen of the Kalahari Desert. And I could have wept. Because I saw their animals and them dying. Because the desert doesn't contain water. And I thought, what's the matter with people? They can't help people. They'll let them die. This world deserves to go to hell. And it's going to go too. This mixed multitude was in the people of God. And they raised a standard that was wrong. And they got the people of God messed up. They got the people of God saying, we remember the fish which we ate in Egypt freely. The cucumbers. Nothing wrong with cucumbers. I like them. Nothing wrong with melons. I saw the people in the Kalahari Desert dig up the melons to get water. The leeks and the onions, the garlic. Now our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of delium. I don't know what that is. I looked it up, but it's kind of like a resinous substance. I don't know what it's all about. The people went about and gathered and ground it in mills and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was a taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. You know, they tell me that the athletes in Russia place in the world eat sesame seed. Sesame seed does not taste like coriander, that is for sure. But you realize that this food was very wonderful food. Their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out, they didn't even need a bath. People take zinc to help them from smelling so bad. Zinc will help. B.O. in plain English. Must have contained zinc in all the elements. But they carped about it. We go to Numbers 21, 5 to 9, because we're going to come back to this later. 21. I feel real good, don't you? Am I getting to feel better? I can think I can preach pretty soon, hopefully. I don't know, never can tell. Beginning at verse 5, the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes is like bread. Dying with the life-giving substance where you don't even stink, your clothes don't wear out. Beaumont, hear this. I'm preaching life and death tonight. You can do what you want with it because I've settled my question. In the face of all opposition, I have settled my question. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." How many snake bites does it take to make people realize that that light bread isn't so light after all? That we've sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from amongst us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent set upon a pole. Come to pass, everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. We go to Psalm 78, 19 to 31. I get nervous reading so much scripture, but I'll do less commenting on it so we can save time eventually. "Yea, and they spake against God and said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the water gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he provide bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and an anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. They wanted to add to it. In this case, they wanted to take away from it and then add to it. Do you hear me? I hope you're listening. "Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the very corn or the wheat of heaven, man ate angels' food." They said, "Yuck." Ha! The big sneer. Remember Sunday's message very well, Beaumont, before the year expires. You may need it. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven. He sent the meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in heaven by his power. He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust. The dust brought dust. They died. Dust thou art. So he gave them dust and they returned to dust when they had the chance for manna, angel's food. Didn't even get stink feet. Didn't get sore feet. He let it fall, the feathered fowl as the sand of the sea, and he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitation. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. And they patted their stomachs and they said, full at last. I suppose it would be better I would weep up here instead of preach. Because my preaching to this point could be very biting and very devastating. So I'm sick and tired of preachers who claim to believe this message and want the people back to that which brings dust and not immortality. I seethe with anger inside. Yes, they'll answer. The same as if I'm wrong, teaching you wrong, I will answer. But God have pity on those that listen and put their trust in that which brings death. They said, we're happy. Now we feel good. They ate, they were filled. They were not estranged from their lust, but while meat was in their mouth, the wrath of God came on them and slew the fattest and then smote down the chosen men of Israel. John 6. It is written in the prophets, not they, but thy children shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, therefore every man that hath heard, and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Did they stop and think how God brought down manna? They never stopped to think and make a comparison. Right back where their forefathers were, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. So eat my flesh and drink my blood, hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinks my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him as a living Father sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And they lived by manna. Clothes didn't wear out. Bodies did not smell, become odoriferous. They did not need baths. Nobody got sick. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. And these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself his disciples murmured, they said, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son, shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens the flesh, profits nothing. Words that I speak, their Spirit and their life. There are some among you that believe not, for Jesus knew in the beginning who they were that believe not, who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except for given to the Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They turned down the manna. Yeah? They turned down the manna. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will you also go in?" Simon Peter said, "Lord, no. I wouldn't know where to go. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." I want you to start noticing something here real quick, that which we read in Numbers 4 and 11. There was a mixed multitude had come out of Egypt. They were with the Israelites. So therefore there were three kinds of believers, as Brother Branham said in this day. He said they were in that day, they were believers, unbelievers, and make-believers. Or unbelievers, make-believers, real believers. Israel coming out by a prophet and the pillar of fire go into the promised land is a type of what comes out of Babylon today by the prophet with the pillar of fire to go up to the wedding supper and into the millennium. This is our time for that exodus. Now let us get this straight. It was the make-believers who knew something was there but could not place it that caused the death from that which is below. And they took that which was from below, the flesh of the quail, over that which was from above, which was the manna. That's what they did. We'll place that in Scripture. We go to James, the 3rd chapter. And we read in there, perhaps verse 13, "Who is that wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" First of all, he said in verse 12, "Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olive trees? Can a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh?" He also said, "A fountain will not send forth fresh water and bitter water." And then he said, "Who is the wise man endued among you? For with knowledge among you, let him show out of his good conversation," that is his behavior, his way of life, his works with meekness and wisdom. "But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Now notice in there, he's talking the same thing that Jesus talked in the 7th chapter of Matthew, where you cannot pick figs or brambles. You make the tree good or you make it corrupt, and he said at the same time, you're justified by your words and by your words you are condemned. He lets you know that you cannot have a mixed language in the face of Almighty God. You cannot have a mixed word. And he's saying here there is no place for a mixed word in this message. And then he mentions, and lie not against the truth. I want you to know, brother, sister, and let's get this straight, that lying is the prime example, the premeditated lie is the prime example that you do not have the Holy Spirit. And if there's anybody sitting here tonight, I will go on record against you on the judgment day that you will hear my voice at that time. And you will be called in the judgment because if you are a part of a premeditated lie, and you endorse the premeditated lie in the liar, you have no part in the kingdom of Almighty God, because no liar shall find himself outside the lake of fire. Now let us understand that straight. It also says to lie not against the truth. The first lie ever told was by Satan in the Garden of Eden. And Cain was of his father the devil, who also told a lie and murdered. And the first thing that happened in this message after Brother Branham came were lies. Premeditated liars who kept going around saying, "Well, Brother Branham told me so and so and so and so." Lying is a mark of the devil. Now he says here, I want you to notice, "I take my stand," said James, "with Jesus." Who said, watch this. Now, now this wisdom, he said, descendeth not from above. Now, he lets you know that there is a wisdom which is based on lies, a perversion of the truth. And that's the first thing that came, and that's the thing that comes into every single message from every single messenger. God was his own prophet, his own messenger, and he gave the word. The devil came by and said, "It is not so," he added one word. All right, we keep reading. "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, devilish. For where envyings and strife is, there is confusion, every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness sown in peace of them that make peace." In other words, he's telling you, when that word is perverted, it goes in a certain direction. But when you stay with the word of truth, that goes in a certain direction. And one end ends up one way, and another ends up another way. And you will not sit in this congregation tonight and believe that you can mix this word up and end the way of the wisdom of God. You end up with a sensual lie from the pit of hell where you will end up in. Now let's get that straight. You can't have your cake and eat it. There's no way. "For whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." Now notice, they had the opportunity to go on with the manna, and they turned it down flat. They wanted that which was from below instead of that which was from above. What is from above? Man of the Word. The Son of Man, which is the prophet, which is the embodiment of the Word. The Word made flesh. The Logos was made flesh. Came right down. They said, "We don't want him." The manna which came down from heaven was the type. They said, "We don't want it. We want the other." You simply can't have your cake and eat it. There is no way. God will not bend to a perverted word. The just deserts of God's word are as what it says here. Then it says this is what happens over there. Now he says right here, "You lust and have not, you desire to have, you can't obtain. You fight in war, and you have not because you ask not. You ask to amiss, consume upon your lust, you adulterers and adulteresses." Now what in the world has this got to do with sexual intercourse, which is illicit? Well, he's telling you what it is exactly. When you get off the word, you're in spiritual adultery. So this is what we're looking at. He said, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enemy of God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of God is enemy of the world. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in it lusteth to envy?" In other words, isn't there a spirit that rises up against all these things? Then if there's a spirit that doesn't rise up against it, but embraces it, what kind of a spirit of hell have you got? I might as well put it in plain English. You say, "Brother Bailey, are you accusing us here?" No, but I'm just hoping some of you are smart enough that you might call the bluff of some. If you ever run across them, or they run across you. Because Brother Brandon said, this is the time the gloves are off, and he said it 17 years ago, and I find people right today that are dressed in pajamas, ready to go to bed, as though they can fold their hands and go into a little down-covered bed and just snore their life away. You're in a fight. Not that you carry any fight to anybody, but you stand up for the word of God, because this isn't worth standing up for. Why stand up for anything? Now he said, "But he giveth more grace." Wherefore he said, "God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Submit yourself. What's humility? Submitting yourself to God. What is resisting the devil? Submitting yourself to Almighty God. All right. This wisdom that is from below is to go outside the word of Almighty God, which makes you a liar and an adulterer. You want to read that for yourselves? What do you think of the 22nd chapter? "For without her dogs," that's male prostitutes, sorcerers, that's your druggist, whoremongers, there's your dollars, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, they loved a lie. They loved that which was against the word of God. They couldn't stand the manna. All right, number 2. In Numbers 21 and 5, we just commented on Numbers 11. We go back to Numbers 21. Might have written that verse down here. I wouldn't have to thumb through the pages to take a look at it. But it says here, And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loathe this light bread. The make-believer and the unbeliever cannot actually stand the spiritually revealed word of the hour. And their influence can come into a church until even the believer will want that which he should not want. This group was messed up. You realize that only two people over 20 went into the promised land? Two people. That's all that went in. We're going to go to John chapter 8. We'll see the parallel in the name, the day of Jesus Christ, beginning at verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Why did they rise up against Jesus? They rose up against him because they were anti-word. I speak that which, he said, you have no place and you got no place for the word. I speak that which I've seen with my father. You do that which you've seen with your father. They answered and said, Abraham is our father. William Branham is our prophet. We all believe in William Branham. Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, if you really believe in William Branham, you'd have some place in your heart for the word of William Branham. Then out of that would come those works. Now, you're not going to be prophets. Don't ever kid yourself. You're not going to have the ministry William Branham had. There's no way, because that ministry indicated. And you don't need any. All you need is the prophet and the pillar of fire. You say, why? Because the word's already there. They're synonymous. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said, we be not born of fornication. They understood serpent seed. Don't worry. We have one father, even God. They could trace him back to Adam's seed. When they argued about Abraham, they just said, well, we can fix you, buddy boy. We can trace it all back to God. And that's exactly right. Because Adam was the son of God. And Abraham is in the lineage. They weren't fools. Don't think for 1 minute they were fools. They're sharp. This wisdom which is from below is very sharp. Whence cometh wars? Spiritual wars. Huh? That's what he's talking about. See? We'll get into John on that after a bit. Jesus said, if God were your father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now listen, let's get this flat. This was the word made flesh. But you just don't look at the flesh. Why do you not understand my speech? Verse 33. Even because you cannot hear my word. There's no understanding, you see. You're of your father, the devil, the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer in the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him when he speaketh the lie. Why was there no truth in him? Because, you see, they didn't have a place in their heart for the truth. Let's go back to the beginning. You find people mixed up. Israel mixed up because of a mixed multitude. They were amongst them. There's no church that doesn't have that problem. None whatever. There's no truth in him, he said. He speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. Because God does not take any responsibility. Because say, well, just a minute. The reason that word is perverted, Mr. God, is because you gave it. He doesn't take one bit of responsibility for that. Said, you're on your own. How'd you like to be cast on your own? You people have prayed all your lives. How'd you like to be cast on your own tonight? You think it can't be done? Come on. We're not babies any longer. We're not playing church any longer. Certainly you can be cast on your own. Verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinced of me of sin can find one, can confute me in one word, or as Brother Branham also said, can prove that I haven't fulfilled every word? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. So the make-believer and the unbeliever cannot actually stand the spiritually revealed food of the hour. Eventually they rebel and lead others astray. They cause division and hardships and judgment. And remember, the crow can eat dove food. But what Brother Branham forgot to tell you and emphasize very strongly, the minute the crow eating dove food smells the opportunity for carrion, he's not interested in dove food. He goes right back to Pentecostal crow food. You want to leave the building now before I get real rough? I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you the truth. You forgot because Brother Branham didn't say it. When the crow smells crow food, he does not care any longer for dove food. He only eats it because it is opportune. And he is just waiting for the day to go back to the Pentecostal carrying. Let me tell you flat, brother, sister, the life has gone out of everything but this word. Do you hear me back? Do you hear me, Beaumont? Or is this just an echo in the wind to you tonight? Is it something a prophet said that was vindicated and you sit here smug? Listen, you young people. Where do you stand tonight? You sit here smug. You could be the arms of a skunk by tomorrow night. Because you just think. How attached are you to the dove food? The carrion smell tomorrow night or by tonight cannot take you out of here and put you right where you don't want to be and you claimed you wouldn't be. But you will be. Because we're not yet in a rapture. Yeah. The crow likes crow food, but he will eat dove food. But a dove will never, never, never eat crow food. He'd flop over stomach up and be dead very shortly. That this was exactly seen under Jesus in John 6, 60 to 66, we'll look at it. Many therefore his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard thing. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself, the disciples murmured and they said, listen, they said, we can't stand this manna anymore. It's what'll get us in. Can't deny the manifestation of the wonders of it, but we can't stand it. Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist trying to get the Holy Ghost in the Word out of which the life has fled. They've gone back to that which is turned carrion, for it's full of wiggle worms, because the manna does not stay pure except one day at a time, and there was only 7 days of seven church ages. And if we continue on, which God forbid and God knows we will not, this message also would be full of wiggle tails. And putrefy in the light. Jesus knew that the murmuring, and he said, does this offend you? And remember that they murmured in the Old Testament, the word is repine, which means to long for what you once had. We love the onions and the leeks. Now, there's nothing wrong with onions and leeks, my brother and my sister. They're still very good food for those who are back in those ages. When you are in Egypt, the onions and leeks are perfectly good for you. And if you want to go back to Pentecost, by all means, go on back, but don't try to mess this message up with it. Because you will have greater condemnation by having been an influence upon people. And if you cause one to stumble, a millstone better hang upon your neck. And you commit suicide.
said, "Does this offend you? What if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh doesn't profit anything. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, even they are life. People try to separate life, which is eternal, from the Word of God. It is impossible. Because these words are carriers. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that would not believe or should, and who should betray him. He said, "Therefore I said, no man can come except it were given him of the Father." From that time many went back and walked no more. Yeah. According to Scripture here, it seems very, very evident that those who cannot dabble in the flesh pots of yesterday or mix this doctrine will have a hard job staying with it, because they cannot accept the pure, unadulterated word of the hour. Back in Jesus' day, in John 15 and 24, he said, "If I had not done the works that other man did, they had not sinned, but now they've both seen and hated both me and my Father." And in John 10 and 33, he said, "The Jews said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man makest thyself God." Now you notice it was Jesus' own words. It was not his actions that did it. They accepted every action and said, "This is great, this is fine. We would love you to make dead bread into just carloads of bread. We would love to have you make this dead fish into lovely fish that has been just freshly baked. You can turn all the water into wine that you want. You can raise all the dead. You can do all the miracles, but there's one thing. Shut your mouth." That's what killed him. His mouth. They didn't hate him for any other reason except he spoke up. The whole argument, the whole premise, the whole problem lay in the fact that Jesus preached the truth. They couldn't take it. The same spirit of hell was there that was in the mixed multitude and the people that came out of Egypt. Going back to Numbers, the 16th chapter. And it won't be hard to figure what I'm going to say here, because we all know the 16th chapter. 1-3, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the sons of Pelah, sons of Reuben, took men. They rose up before Moses with certain children of Israel, 250 princes, assembly famous in the congregation, men renowned. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, 'You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation.'" You'll notice in here that these men rose up against Moses. Now why did they rise up? They rose up because they were able to be in the realm of the prophetic. They had gifts among them. And they rose up and they said, "Listen, we've got something too, and therefore we deserve to be heard." And Brother Branham was brought as one born out of due season. He should have gone through Pentecost, but he didn't. He bypassed it. But he had to acquiesce to the Pentecostals because nobody else wanted him, and he took his ministry there. And they looked upon him, and as a voice said to Tommy Osborne, and I do not want to use his name lightly or any derogatory manner, it's his own testimony, that when that man fell across the feet of Brother Branham, I understand, if I am thinking correctly and my memory is correct, he said, a voice said to him, he said, "This is what the way it ought to be done. You can do this too." In other words, Bible days are here again. This is the norm. This is what should be done. This was given to you an example. Thereby you shall do this thing also. He never stopped to check the voice, because that voice did not tell him what that voice told Reverend William Branham. And the voice said, "Tell the people, bring the worst case that you have amongst you, and I'll guarantee healing." No voice said that to Tommy Osborne or any man living. What it was, Brother Branham was set forth there under a ministry to bring forth a word. And always, the word is what is challenged. The ministry, per se, is not challenged half as much as the word. And the ministry is not challenged until the man talks, and then they brand him the devil. But not until he talks. See? They were against the word of Almighty God. Now, here is seen the repudiation of message and messenger. We go to John 13 and 20. Now remember, we're talking about the manna which came down from heaven, which is the Word, which became incarnated in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're still talking about the Word. So therefore, in John 13 and 20, he is telling the people, "Truly, truly, I say, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me." That is, receives that Word. "And he that receives me receiveth him that sent me." Now, he was the Word, and so therefore, if anybody is going to be sent, it is going to be a miniature Word. Because he said, if you receive the one that he that receiveth whomsoever I send, and he is the Word, and you receive him as the Word, then the man that's going to come is going to be the Word. It will not be in the same stature, but it will be the Word. Because that is what they were supposed to receive and did not receive, because remember, he was the prophet. Now remember, you go to your books of theology, and I have had the privilege of studying many theologians. You can go to your libraries today, and you will not find the theologian speaking of Christ in the days of his prophecy, only William Branham. They will speak in terms of him as a lamb. And before he was a lamb, he was a prophet. He was in the beginning the Word, and the Word became flesh. And it was a bleeding Word that died and cleared away our sins for us. They did not want to recognize the Word back in Egypt, coming out of Egypt. They did not want to recognize the Word in Jesus' day. They do not want to recognize it today. And they will take every opportunity to infiltrate that Word so it is no longer the Word. Or they will take something to substitute for it. But they cannot stand the Word. See? All right. Whomsoever I send. And that is the Word speaking. And he cannot send anything other than a Word. That is why every single church age says, "Hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And then at the end time, he stands there as the judge of the ages, which we'll talk about tomorrow night in a little measure. Now, we go to John 3:16 again. Not again, but with the same thought in mind. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." That's wonderful. "He that believeth not on him is not condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now notice, first of all, it said God sent his Son, he gave his life. Wonderful. Now it says you got to believe in the name. Now it says a little further, this is a condemnation. Now hold it, I thought there wasn't any condemnation. You see, you're getting into a progressive revelation. A progressive revelation starts with a precept. Then it goes to a line. Then it goes to a word. Until it becomes all word. Not that it wasn't all word, but it becomes word by word to you. So that every part is a building block. "He that believeth on him is not condemned." That's right. Because he sent his Son not to condemn the world, but to save the world. But it's not carte blanche. There are strings attached. "He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now notice what the condemnation is of not believing in that name. "That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." Therefore, you cannot separate the name from the word. And so if you're off the word, you're off the name. Now you heard me pray tonight, but you didn't catch it. And I mentioned meeting in the name of Jesus, being two or three. And Brother Branham said, that is not a cliche. That is not simply a statement that you say, "I mentioned the name of Jesus, and therefore I'm in the name of Jesus." You must be in his name as a spiritual, not just a revelation, but an experiment, experience. You must be born again to be in that name. Don't just stare at me. Shake your heads if you're in doubt. Let's have some understanding where we are, because it might be too late for the token to be applied. This is a rebirth. And it's no longer just a name. The name is now coupled to the word. And that word is light. Now listen. This is a condemnation. Light has come in the world. That's why they're outside the name. They talk the name all they want, but they're outside the name. We're in that name tonight if we're born again because we're bride. We're Mrs. Jesus. There is a power that has been unsearched that's amongst us tonight because we don't know who we are. And we refuse to listen to who we are. Because there's a cadre amongst us that want to take us back to Pentecost, an organization. This age calls for total separation from unbelief. And unbelief is not you simply bulldozing your way to the promises of God, to healing in those things. It's standing with the Word of God. And that word's a revelation. This is a condemnation. The light is in the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And right away you say, well, Brother Vail, those evil deeds, I know all about them. It's drinking and it's adultery. You're entirely wrong. It's unbelief. And it's what comes out of your unbelief, which is off the Word, which makes you to worship. Israel going into the Promised Land, worshiping back in Egypt. Sure. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. He that comes to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. He that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, they are wrought in God. Wrought in God? Oh, said Cain, I felt very led today to give this offering without blood. Now, Abel, you gave an offering with blood. That's fine by me. Go ahead and give all the blood you want. I have the revelation. I have the feeling that I'm going to offer just this fruit here, and God will accept it. But the fire did not fall. It fell on only on Abel's sacrifice. Now, his deeds were evil. Yet the Bible said his sacrifice was excellent. But his deed that was an excellent sacrifice was evil. Don't have that note with me, so I can't read it. Sorry. First John 3:11-15. I was almost quoting it for you, but now I will quote it. Here's what he said. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. Brother Branham took us back to the beginning in marriage and divorce, didn't he? That's where everybody's confused about it. I'm confused, you're confused, we're all confused because nobody wants to go back to the beginning. You want to adapt it to a now. Well, the beginning is now. It's been a complete cycle. After 7 comes 8. New beginning. This is the message here in the beginning. We should love one another. Notice it goes to a negative now. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, that slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, right away, the human mind says, oh, what's an evil deed? An evil deed is killing his brother. You're entirely wrong. The evil deed was not killing his brother. The evil deed was worshiping God outside of the Word. And he wouldn't bring it to the Word. Without a revelation, brother, sister, you and I are dead. Without that word, that name doesn't count. Well, you say, Brother Bale, it must count. Does it count when he said in that day they'll come and say in my name I cast out devils, I did wonderful works, I prophesied, and it was exactly right, and they're dead. Because they didn't bring it to the Word. Gifts will always fight the Word if they are not one with the Word. Brother Brand said the worst, most dangerous thing can happen to church. One of the most terrible things can happen with a man truly full of the Holy Ghost, with a real gift, can be used of the devil. What if a man came into your church with a genuine gift, but he wasn't full of the Holy Ghost? Give him the Word yet. Such a discerning. Brother Branham had the only true ministry. But people all over discern. Say, that's a God. Is it a God thing? If you can't tell what I'm talking about tonight, forget it. I just apologize and say, I'm sorry I offended you. But I'm not. Anything I can do. If nothing else, I can at least speak right for my Savior. Wherefore slew he him? Whence come wars among you? Where does everything come from? From religion. From a spiritual ineptitude. From men without a revelation. Who want to say, love us, oh, everybody be happy with each other. It really doesn't matter. Just talk about Jesus, hallelujah, and we'll dance around him like a maypole and get that word away from us. Get it away. You don't have any Jesus to dance around like a maypole. He's gone. He never was with you. Come on, let's get down to where it is. I'm not trying to get you rattled and make you wonder if you got something. Merciful God, I'm trying to show you tonight you can have something. Can't wait from what would destroy you. Don't act, I'm not acting as though I got it. I'm just reading you the scripture. I'm not dumb. I'm not stupid. I can read the scripture. I wasn't born yesterday. Some kind of a clown. I can't read here. Not as Cain, who was a wicked one, who slew his brother. Wherefore slew him? Because he deeds were evil. Now, why did he kill his brother? The evil deed was not killing his brother. The evil deed was worshiping without a revelation. And he misjudged the Bible. He misinterpreted. He misplaced. And he put the first fruit offering without the blood. You cannot have a first fruit without the blood. Because first fruit signifies resurrection and something has to die. So the blood's got to be shed. Now, he says here, marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you. Now, why is the world going to hate us? Because we go to the Word. We worship according to the Word. And Paul said, I'm a heretic, they're trying to kill me. I'm a heretic according to them, but I worship God according to the Word. They don't worship according to the Word, therefore they hate me. You say, Brother Vail, do you hate these people? No way do I hate them. I want to get them off my back once and for all, though. Hopefully. It won't happen until I'm dead or they're dead, one of the two, I know that. We know we pass in death and life because we love the brethren. He said, there you are, that's love. You love the brethren? What are you talking about? What brethren? Well, that's the question. Jesus said, who is my mother, who is my brother? That answer is very simple, the seed. And the seed is word. And Brother Brand said, you don't take a cell, a human cell, add a cat cell, a dog cell, a pig cell, something else. He said, if it's a human cell, you add a human cell, 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 down the line, it's all human. And if it's word, 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 that's the way it is in the body. It starts with word, it ends with word. Did you know that great one amongst us put his feet on land and sea? And you know the headship is down here. What are the feet in? The feet are in the foundation. The foundation is here. Because if you're a pillar in the church, you're part of the foundation, and that one came down here to be the great pillar and the very head of the same time. All and all is here. It's all word. The mighty works are only to catch people's attention. He said, you love the brethren? What's he talking about? You love the word. You love the seed. Jesus said, why? He said, why would you try to kill me? Why would you try to destroy this? He said, if you were part of me. Oh, they said, we know Moses, we know Pentecost, we know this. He said, that's all gone. It's dead. It's finished. There's a rejoicing. If we're in the Word, you see. Notice two things. What constituted a righteous act? And where did hate start? A righteous act was where the man worshiped God according to the revelation that God had in that hour. That's where righteousness started. And that's where love is. It's the love of the revealed Word of Almighty God. And we are who accepted the revealed Word of Almighty God, the Word made flesh. There is a love there. That's what it's supposed to be. Now, he said this fellow came along here. He's like the mixed multitude because he was mixed multitude. He was half human and half animal. But he got a soul through Eve. He has to have a soul. Now, he can go out here. He knows moral things. He knows right from wrong. He knows these things. But he's serpent seed. Now, what happens? He immediately perverts the word. And that perversion goes into a hate. Because that's what made him rise up against his brother.
people are trying to act this kind of love and do that kind of love and every kind of love under God's high heaven, but they don't love this word. Now look it. There's never going to be this love that comes into the bride just before the resurrection until that word is so amongst us it'll bring it in. We loathe this man. Let's go further. Back to John 6. I'm not trying to be too coherent tonight. Don't worry about it. If I was, I'd do a whole lot of preaching in between every single line tonight. And I'm not going to take 2.5 hours or 3. It's 8:45, but 8:50 already. It means we sure got to move down the road somewhere. John 6:54. Whoso eats my flesh, drinks my blood, is eternal life, and I'll raise him up the last day. John 58. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna, are dead. He that eats his bread shall live forever. Okay. Let's go to John 11. 25 and 26. Jesus, I am the resurrection life. He that believeth in me, though he dead, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? All right. In the light of John 6:58, all may eat. Anybody can eat, but the question is, to whom is it quickened? It's quickened to those who have the word of that hour. And for 7 church ages, almost completely, the quickened word is this: you will die, but come out of the grave. But today, the word is quickened. You will not go to the grave. You will not die. Now, how are you going to get there? We loathe this man. We're tired of it. Now, this has all been a background for the subject of can we be born again and loathe Christ being revealed to us today. If you wonder what I'm talking about, I'm talking about the fact that he has appeared amongst us and he's still here. Can we lose our appetite for the revelation of him and his presence and the spiritual ingesting of it and substitute something else for it? Can we view and peruse something other than that living one amongst us and esteem the substitute to be greater than that one in whom are all things? Can we be fooled that the part is greater than the whole? Can his gifts and his goodness outweigh himself from whom all things proceed? And the answer is yes, and it's being done. It's been done for 6,000 years and is being done now. Let us not be so smug as to think that its seeds are not amongst us and our churches ready to blossom at the first watering of one rising amongst us. And you say, one amongst us? How else could it come? Because Scripture runs in continuity. And it was from the priesthood of Levi in Israel that the seed sprung when they were trying to enter in. And it was at that time that the virgin became defiled so they could not enter in, as in Acts the 20th chapter. And we read 22-31, but you won't have to read all of it. But where Paul, let's go down to where Paul says in 26, therefore I take you to record this day, I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned declaring you all the counsel of God. Now notice how he's pure from the blood of all men. Now listen, Cain was not pure from the blood of his brother. He killed him because of the word. Hate comes from hating the word. Love comes from loving the word. Now the love that people think is love is not love. It is a perversion, because the kind old priest, said Brother Branham, and rightly so by history, had far more love than Jesus. And the Christian Scientist can produce far more love, and the Hindus can produce far more love according to theology, so-called theology, than any born-again Christian. Your love must have its right source. It must be a love of the Word, which is the love of Almighty God. Now he said, I have not shunned to declare the full counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock, over which the Holy Ghost made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For this I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Now who are grievous wolves? Those in sheep clothing. Those who on the outside have all the love and the niceness. They turn the cheek. They do every single thing that's a manifestation in the flesh. People, listen, let me tell you. You sit here and I know. I don't know your heart because I'm not a prophet. But I know my own heart, and I know the stumbling blocks of life. It is very difficult to grasp what I am talking about, that a person can have every so-called evidence of being born again and being a devouring individual who's out to destroy you. And he might not even know he's trying to do it. Now get it tonight. Let's understand this. A wolf in sheep clothing is exactly what it means. Everything on the outside is 100% scriptural, is 100% Christian, but on the inside, there's murder. You understand what I'm saying? See, because everybody talks about love, 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 love. What is love? See, we've gone into it and showed you. He said, this is the message from the beginning. You love one another, not as Cain who killed his brother because his deeds were evil. The wrong revelation, the wrong practice of a wrong revelation absolutely brought that man into a place of being a murderer. How many murders are there amongst us in this message? They say, Brother Dale, that's a rotten question. That's a good question. It's a scriptural question. It's a necessary question. That's a pertinent question. That's an up-to-date question. Bring it to the light and let's find out. Everybody can talk about the blood. Anybody can talk about new birth. Anybody can talk about this and the other thing. Bring it to the Word. Now let me tell you something. Opening those seals, Brother Branham categorically showed us that the Roman Catholic Church went out to destroy souls. As the Scripture said, she had bought the souls of men. How many souls are bought today by people who put on that sheep clothing over the wolf exterior? You realize the Bible says Satan himself is transformed into a messenger of light? That in this hour the two spirits are so close together, if you really don't have the Holy Ghost, and you didn't have the Word with the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't get anywhere. That you would be deceived, and if you're deceived, you're not elect, and if you're not elect, you're going to sit here as foolish virgin and go through the great tribulation, and you miss the millennium and the whole bit. Now that's what the Bible teaches, and I'm not going to teach less. That's what the prophet taught. I'm not going to teach less than the prophet. I can't afford to jeopardize myself when I see the truth vindicated. Now he says right in here, he said, I know after my departure, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Now therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, just like Jesus' ministry, almost 3.5, of course he had 3.5, I cease not to warn every one of you day and night, but just warn what? Warn about the danger here, the razor blade difference, the razor blade difference. To warn exactly what hate was and what love was. To warn exactly what manna was, the wisdom from above, and what the wisdom from below was. To exactly warn. Just the way the prophet did. Now, don't be afraid to look at ourselves and judge yourselves. Go back to John 13 again. Let's go back and take a look at it. 21 to 25. Jesus was troubled in spirit. And testifying that truly, truly, I say, one of you shall betray me. The disciples looked at one another doubting. Leaning on John, Jesus' bosom was the beloved disciple John. Simon Peter beckoned to him and asked him, who's going to do it? And John lying on Jesus' breast said, Lord, who is it? And Jesus said, it's the one to whom I give a thought. And when he dipped it, he gave it to Judas, Iscariot, the son of Simon, one amongst them. See? Okay? Let's go back to James again. Might as well use the same scripture. Saves us looking at others. Verses 5 to 7. Do you think the scripture says theft in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in the lust through envy? But he gives more grace, wherefore he said, God resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee you. Now what's he saying right here? He's telling the church the very lessons we ought to learn. He said, there is a spirit in you right now that is quickened to the understanding of the Word. As John said, you need not any man should teach you. You've got your built-in radar system. You've got it all right there. You have got this Word. And you are anointed to that Word. And you don't have to be fooled. The elect are not going to be fooled anyway in the final analysis. But even in this day, when the bride was falling away, they were giving them the recipe and telling them, now watch. Don't get puffed up as though you know something. They were puffed up in Corinth. And they said, who needs Paul? We've got this, we've got that. And Paul said, now hold it, I want to ask you a question. Who brought you the Word? Did it come out of you or did I bring it to you? Now he said, if I'm the one that brought it, you better listen to me. You better listen to the word that was brought. But these men were not content. So he's telling them here, now you watch out, there's a way to escape all this. You bet there is. Just resist the devil by humbling yourself right down to the word of Almighty God. He'd been, Brother Branham said, one word off is Satan's kingdom. Now these words that I've spoken so far are not to arouse suspicion or point a finger. No way. Although it may sound like that, and under some conditions it could well do it, because I will not hold myself above it. Because when you preach out of sometimes a passion, you can certainly make people think, well, hey, the thing to do is go on it with an axe, a two-headed bladed axe, and start lopping heads. No way, shape, or form. No, sir, not to point a finger, but to teach what I feel and not only feel, but know that there is a very grave danger of getting an overload of exegesis, which is definitely the preaching of a certain thing until people say, I don't want to hear anymore. Through the constant reiteration that the fullness of the Holy Spirit is here, that the same Jesus in spirit form is here, that Messiah who is Christ, who is Logos, is here, the constant pointing to Him and delineating of Him has already turned some of the last believers off. The attitude being, He's here, so what? Now don't tell me that's not true. I faced it. And I have faced it. I've had my feet cut off. Too much Logos. He's here. We've known He's always here. So what? I am that bread, that manna, which came down from heaven. And in the Exodus, they hated it. It wasn't what they wanted, because they still had Pentecostal bellies, Pentecostal mouths, Pentecostal taste. Am I unkind? I say I'm very kind. To present this in any manner whatsoever, even was with anger, which it is not, or with contempt, which it is not, whether you want it or not, you're getting a favor done to you. Because many of my messengers have spoken absolutely from experience and for what's going on. This is tragic. For they might not even know it has happened. Let me ask you, did the Corinthians realize they were already in the death grip of 2 Corinthians 11 and 4, another Jesus, another word, and another spirit? And the answer is no. Did they understand that the doctrine of the resurrection preached among them and accepted as being the truth was thoroughly disbelieved? And some even said, it's already over. You say, could a church be that mixed up? Yes, that church was that mixed up when the Apostle Paul stood right there. Now William Branham is off the scene. I should have had my notes all written down, but I can't carry, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 pages of notes and try to find them here in the pulpit where I write my quotes down. But the prophet said in the seventh seal, he said, I may be laying a foundation for that great one to come. And if I had, I won't be here any longer, for I must decrease and he must increase. And he quoted the words of John the Baptist. Then William Branham left the scene. I want to ask a question. Was he a false prophet? Because if you say he is not here increasing, then William Branham is a false prophet. Why do you mention his name? Have the grace to shut up! And do a great servant of God an honor by keeping your rotten mouth shut. Now I'm preaching pretty tough right now. Maybe I should apologize and take that back. I'll apologize and give it right back to 5 minutes later, so forget it. As I said here Sunday, people talk about a prophet. There is no prophet without God. There is no God without a prophet. Study your book. Talk about William Branham denied the presence of God. He said he descended to raise the dead. The dead are not raised. Then he's still here. Oh, they have convenient theories. Well, he came and he went. How could he go and still increase? If he went, where would the light come again? For he descended with a shout and a voice and a trumpet, and the voice is the message, I mean, the shout is the message, and the voice is the resurrection, and the trumpet is the rapture. And he does all three in descending. He's down here doing it all. Is the resurrection over? How many of you have seen the dead? Because if you're bragged, you will see the dead. Tell me, come on, have the guts tonight. Raise your hand. Tell me, how many have seen the dead? Then the dead are not raised. Then he's got to be here. But so what? So what? Those are fighting words. This message isn't worth fighting for. Drop dead. Forget it. Let's go and get drunk and start a real brawl. I have never had one. It'd be kind of fun to engage in one. As long as they can get the first lick in. And I can run. Therefore, we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Slip is meaning like the waters just going by. Dreaming by the waters that rolls by. We just softly say so high. For if the word spoken by angels, messenger, was steadfast, he said he's here. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense. Lord, how should we escape and neglect so great salvation, which the first thing has spoken by the Lord and confronted, then they heard it, God bearing the witness, signs and wonders, and so on. God proving he's here, because prophet said if he's here, he'll do the very same things he did in the flesh. He'll do it now in the spirit. If that one that was here, God's flesh, God's blood, was raised and set at the right hand, set on the mercy seat. If that same one that indwelt him is here, that indwelt him when he was here, he'll do the very same things. And he cried out against the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When Brother Branham did the works, they said, that's fine. Except for the Church of Christ, and that's the church without Christ, so don't worry about them. There's always got to be the Sadducees that don't believe in a resurrection or angels or anything else, and you got them. They said, forget it. But the rest of them said, oh, hey, the works are great, but you know, he's Jesus only. Brother Branham signed his death warrant amongst the churches by opening his mouth. And the preacher said, even a man from Chicago that Brother Branham backed so thoroughly, he said, I believe I made a great mistake because I encouraged Brother Branham to preach and he never should have preached. The man's supposed to be Brother Branham's dedicated friend, so we wrote him a letter to find out how good a friend he was. We wrote him in the name of our son, I think it was, or the son-in-law. And the letter came back, and this man said, oh, I've known Brother Branham for years. I've been a Trinitarian all my life. And Brother Branham made a mistake. Just float on by. What about the sleeping virgins? Let's take a look at the sleeping virgins. Might as well get you all worn out tonight or messed up for by tomorrow night, because that's who I am. Sorry about that, but you know me by now. So let's go. Virgins, chapter 25. Now, after he goes through Matthew 25, which is the days of the Son of Man, which is the office of the prophet, he says, at this time then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 wise, 5 foolish. Foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Why? The wise took on their vessels, the bridegroom with their lamps, the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. At midnight their cry was made, behold, the bridegroom, not behold, he cometh, but behold, the word is not cometh, it's not in any Greek manuscript. Behold the bridegroom. Doesn't say go out, it says come out. Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins rose, trimmed their lamps. The foolish said, give us oil, because our lamps are gone out. That's exactly right. Because this is another day with another word, and the hour of justification and sanctification and Pentecostal gifts is over. The oil is out of it. And you can't put a new patch on an old garment or oil into an old bag. Try to put the wine in an old goatskin and blow her higher than a kite. So there was no way they could get it. They tried to get it. But didn't I read to you about Jesus said, he that hears the Father comes to me? They couldn't have heard it. they could not have heard, or they would have got the oil. So they got an anointing. And now the anointing's everywhere. They speak in tongues. They got gifts and this and that, and they can discern everything under high heaven. And people say, that's wonderful. We want that. Brother Branham said, get away from that. Let me tell you something. Let's get this flat. I have a dear friend from Buffalo who died. For Pentecostal brothers and sisters, especially sisters, said, honey, let us get you to these men that pray for the sick. And she raised her enfeebled head, dying with cancer. And she said, I will die first before I go against this word. Angels must have carried her home, and the light of God must have been tremendous in heaven to hear that little lamb cry out, I will die before I betray the light of this hour. That little woman's life shone the most glorious in all her life. It shone in her dying hour. Because the prophet said, get away from that stuff. Which I don't believe the prophet meant it, and he didn't mean anything else either. Let's face it, come on. All right. They went there to get the oil, they couldn't get it. Didn't have the word. Then what happened? He said, I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know he's my wife anymore. That's happening right now. That's happening right now. Brother Branham said so. Foolish virgin died going into the wilderness. Brother Branham said so. Said there three times right there. Said the foolish virgin died. Said, what about the appeal? That was the unbeliever in power. That was that bunch of Satan crowd. They died right there in their adultery. He said there was no forgiveness. There was nothing completely wrong. But the foolish virgin died. What a tragedy. If one could let that revelation slip away and lose an appetite for it. Let us find out about this appetite. You getting bored? The appetite down? Good test right now. We're closing the hall. He took you out very thoroughly. Why not? I sat one night where a fellow preached a false doctrine based on Brother Brown's quote for 3 solid hours. Jack was the man he could have killed him. I sat there and laughed as I enjoyed every single quote because he hardly said a thing about anything but the quote. I said, see me reading it. What? No, I don't. Don't worry, Jack. I'm going to betray you. Because you're so honest, you already told him anyway. Several times over, but I know you. He married a firecracker. I'm the only guy that sat there, just it wasn't there. I just closed my ears to what he was saying, couldn't understand anyway, because he said he didn't say one thing, turn around and said it anyway. I said, well, holy mackerel, what's going on here? You get that confused, you know, you got problems. But I enjoyed it. Page after page, I enjoyed it. Now, I'm not quoting. I wish there weren't, and you couldn't say a word. You'd have to grin at me. Well, you don't have to grin. You can pull a sour face. I've got poor sight. I think I've got to work. Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, he's got the principles now. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. I want to ask you a question. Does that ever go out of style as long as there's one Gentile who can be saved or one Hebrew who can be saved? No way. No way. Because the Hebrews are built upon works. And you know and I know that if it's works, it's no longer faith. And if it's faith by grace, it's no longer works. Now he says right here, we are going to leave that. Finish it. Don't look at it anymore. Repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. Don't need faith toward God. Why? Because it's not going to work. Now come on, let's get down to nitty gritty here. Leaving the doctrines, let's go to perfection. And the doctrine number one. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God of the doctrine of baptism. Nobody's going to get the Holy Ghost anymore. Nobody's going to be baptized in water anymore. It's not necessary. Of laying on hands, forget it. Of the resurrection of the dead. You say we ain't even got that far. That's right, forget it. Because you're not going to get that far. You're not going to die. You don't look very happy. You sick tonight? Lord, you are, you know Pentecost. I thought you'd be dancing by now. Come on, honey, you're disappointing me. I thought this Lois over here might have done it by now. What's the matter? You can't dance for the real thing?
Do you realize tonight there is a people who missed all of this? It's no good anymore. It's finished. You got it. It's over. Nobody else is coming in. The baptism has run out. The last one in a child train. And you don't even think of resurrection because you won't be in it. You don't need to be because you ain't going to die. Now, I don't mind dying because I just go to a better place. I keep telling you folk, I looked in a three-way mirror when I was 20. I went into shock. I would never look in a three-way mirror again. I can look in a three-way, a six-way, a 20-way. I care less what I look like. I don't give a rip anymore because I know the real me is going to come out of the shell one of these days. The real me is going to be in the real place. I'm going to be the really there once and for all and forever. Hallelujah. I can't wait to get out of here in the sense I want to go, but I know he said, forget the resurrection. The word of the hour is, I shall not die but live. For he said, I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me shall not die. He that eats this last day manna shall not die. I'm tired. I can't stand that. And this we will do, that said, and of eternal judgment. Under the seventh seal, you know you will never come into a judgment. Because not even the judgment of death that demands that everybody that sins and everybody sins has to die, but you're not going to die. Not even that. And you're still not dancing and shouting? We got a bunch of dead beats in here. Am I preaching to statues? How if you're happy inside, then you're forgiven. If you're happy inside, you're rejoicing. Listen, this we will do if God permit, but God didn't permit. But this is the hour of permission. Lord, may I live and get out of this room by just walking out eternally glorified? He said, yes, son, you can come on. It's permitted. Yeah. It wasn't permitted under the old manna of justification. It wasn't permitted under sanctification. It wasn't permitted under the baptism and the restoration of gifts. It's only permitted now. You got permission to live, brother, sister. The judge said so. People, you know, prepare for their death. They buy coffins. I ain't going to buy no coffins. I said a while ago to some friends of mine, I said, if my wife and I die, she's got to be buried in 12 suits and I got to be buried at least 6. Got so many clothes. We ain't going to die. We're going to wear them. I leave them behind whoever wants them. They can wear 41. They got a lot of clothes. I ain't going to say what size she wears. That's her business either. She's a size 12. Plus. Not very much. Okay. For it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and made partakers of the Holy Ghost and taste the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, having fallen away, to renew them again to the change of their mind, because they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh. Now, since you can come to that place and lose an appetite for it. Lose an appetite for the resurrection, lose an appetite for the glorification, because the appetite for the word has been lost. Now, when does this take place? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says here in the 9th verse, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, the word perfect means consummation, polished, finished. You can't take from and you can't add to it, and that's when the seals are opened. Revelation 22 and 10, seal not the same, for off his book, for the time is at hand. He that is filthy, filthy, he is righteous, is righteous, till behold, I come quickly, I'm Alpha and Omega. Yep. He said, they that wash the robes have the right to the tree of life, the rest outside are whoremongers and dogs and you name it. It's all over. That which is perfect has come. The question was asked of Brother Branham. What do you mean when that which is perfect has come? What is it? He said, who is perfect but God, and what is God but the Word? And by His grace we believe they have the perfect revelation for this hour. Well, I can tell you that's 100% true. There is no problem. Let's go to the book of Hebrews and prove it exactly what the prophet said. Just the first chapter, God, who in many parts and in many ways spoke in the prophets to the prophets of the fathers. Seven church ages God spoke. And at the end of the seven church ages, there's no more speaking left. It's over. So it's finished. And the seals took up the loose ends and corrected the mistakes. So it's consummated, polished off, the perfect Word of God. God, here in our midst. I loathe that man. He's here. Revelation 10, 1 to 7. We all know that. The mighty messenger come down with a cloud over his shoulders. Brother Branham categorically said that was Revelation 1 and 10, 12, in that area, 12, the voice, the one who turned and saw. It's also Revelation 5 and 1. It's the same one that's going to be Revelation chapter 19, 11. I saw the mighty messenger going out of him, clothed the cloud, rainbow about his head, face where the sun, feet the pillars of fire, those feet in the floor right here, part of the foundation. And now the foundation, the very head's here. That which brought forth the foundation is the same one that brings forth the headstone with screams of grace, grace, grace. Come on, who's here to get the dead out of the ground? Or who is he? Tell me. God. God raises the dead, exactly right. He's here. Who was it that brought the Word? God himself. He said Elohim is here. Who is this Melchizedek? Who is Jesus? Who's going to get us there? Same one's going to get us there. The Lord descended the shout. He said Jesus Christ does all three in descending. What Jesus Christ? Him in the disincarnated form. All right. Had his hand a little book open, right, put upon the sea, left upon the earth. Cried the loud voice and the lion roars. Now listen, at that very time that descends, which is the time of the seals, the seventh church age messenger is upon earth. Now, the prophet went. You tell me that Revelation 10 and 1 is gone, prove it. Show me where the scripture says so. The scripture indeed does not say so. The scripture says contrary. Read Revelation 22 and you'll find it. He hasn't gone, he's here. Because he says come, the Spirit says come, and the bride says come, we're both here. Oh, you say, Brother Vail, that Spirit always was here. See that fellow Pentecost? That's the life in the pit of hell. And I'll tell you why, because Brother Branham said, just think, the same one that appeared to Paul in a pillar of fire that gave the Word is here interpreting it, and that was after Pentecost. And that was no pillar of fire separating himself upon people. That was one God talking to one man. Let's get your thing straight tonight, brother, sister. Glad you turned the mic up. I like the emphasis. If I can't get them to understand you, I'll shut them to death. The guy said, I haven't got any teeth. I'll gum you to death if I can't bite you. You tell me that's Pentecostal. You don't know what you're talking about. Shame on you. Repent tonight. See, my preacher said so. I don't care two bits what your preacher says. This is the Word of God that the prophet said. The same one here. It's here that gave it, interpreting it. That never happened at Pentecost. The revelation does not come to a body of people. It comes to one. It comes to a prophet. Give me your hogwash. What are you talking about? You've got time to repent. It's time to repent. You say, Brother Vail, I think you've gone too far. Oh, God have pity. Will you people smarten up? Will you learn your lesson? Let me read over here in the book of Hebrews to tell you something. Listen. It says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise having been left us of entering his rest, any of you should seem to come short. That does not mean what it sounds. The literal translation is, don't think you have fallen short. There is time to repent. You know, I've always preached one thing. Don't try to put your lawyers in man. Don't put your lawyers in me. This could well be the last time you'll see my face down here. I hope not, but it could well be, because I'm not interested in going on the road any longer. If God makes me, that's fine. I'll try to do my best about it. But I'm interested in getting off for one thing. I've come to the place I want to look out the window and see the birds and just let the rest of the world go by. Because I don't know how many people are going to believe anyway. Brother Branham said before he died, he said 50 people came to the Lord. He said, I wonder if one came to the Lord. I'm not trying to make myself William Branham or anybody else. I'm leaving and I'm telling you flat. You do what you want. I'm preaching this word of God. You put your loyalties where you want, but I'm trying to show you there one stands amongst us that is here, and I wonder if people know who he is. You say, what does it matter? Oh, it's a heresy. Oh, it's like a personal doctrine. It's something like the thunder. God? Who is perfect but God? When that which is perfect is come, the Lord himself descend from heaven with a shout? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Jesus one day stood back with great wonder and wondered. He stood in awe before the people. He couldn't believe and take in their unbelief. And Paul stood back and he said, I wonder with amazement. I can't figure it. And I am not Jesus and I am not Paul, but I am flabbergasted that men can hear the voice of William Branham, who lifted up him who is amongst us, and then say, well, it's just a peripheral doctrine. That Elohim is a peripheral doctrine? The one that created squirrels? What are you talking about? What are you thinking tonight? No wonder we chew gum and laugh and talk more like idiots. When God requires the special language of Malachi, those that feared the Lord and thought off upon his name spake often one to another. The special language. We seem to be specialists in the art of unbelief. Show me where he left. Oh, it's too much, isn't it, to vie with him? It's too much that he is here so we can be somebody and trade on a platform and strut off around like a bunch of peacocks and circumnavigate the world and say, we're big shots. You bet I'll preach it. Yeah, somebody, what do I do anyway tonight? What are you anyway? What are you? Want to stand up and say, look at me. And him present. Tell me when he left. Well, you say, Brother Bill, it's a secret resurrection, secret rapture, then that's all of it. We missed it. Now, if we miss it, it's not too late to have a little bit of fun. Because we're going to fry anyway. What would you suggest tonight we start with? The best I can handle is the hot sauce down at Casa Ole. So merciful God, what shape am I in? What fun can I have? You understand what I'm saying? If I got to put it this way, I got to put it this way. He is here, yet the appetite is gone. Should just quit. This is a 4-hour message, and I'm not about to take 4 hours, and you know I'm not. I'll be so hoarse tomorrow night. Brother Jack Bell, the host, will preach for us. He's laughing there, but he just may not laugh tomorrow. Because I will not ordain my wife to preach. And she can't read my notes anyway. Let this be mine in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not a thing to be grasped and retained to be equal with God, but made himself in a reputation, took upon himself the form of servants, made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion of man, humbled himself, and became being a death, even the death of the cross, wherefore God has highly exalted him, given name above every name, and that the name of Jesus every knee would bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All right, now that tells you about a previous incarnation. He was, before the incarnation, who he was. As Brother Branham said, this here was God with a mask, different from other masks which he had previously used, because this mask had to be human to shed blood. Because the life would come back upon humans, which animal life could not do. All right, let's go to John. We go a little further in John, because he is saying the same thing that John said. Now, over here it says, in the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Now, as I showed you, people read this wrong. They say in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Read it simply, in the beginning, God. Because the Word is telling you of the great Elohim, the great Jehovah, which means the God who is that becomes. So in the beginning, God. Now God, self-existent, is becoming. In other words, he is emerging in the sense of clothing himself in a way that he can be apprehended. So therefore, the attributes of God come into manifestation, and the attributes are not God, they're attributes of God, without which there wouldn't be attributes. I know you got stuck on that. I get stuck too, but I'm perfectly 100% with science. Because the life in the poppy seed is full of attributes. And nobody ever sees the life, but they see the attributes. And when you look at the attributes, you say, that is poppy, but it is not poppy, it is attributes. But without attributes, you wouldn't see poppy. So therefore, in the beginning was the attributor. And as he began to bring forth his attributes, it took a form. And attributes will begin to manifest and do things. So angels came, creation came, and came down the place where the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then it says here, no man has seen God at any time, and no man can. But attributes are just the same as seeing him. Do you follow me? See? All right. All right. Then it says here, the only begotten, who is in the bosom of the Father, the fullness of the attributes came forth. He has declared him, brought him forth into view, and by words has portrayed him until we see him. All right. Now let's go to Ephesians. I'll never quit Ephesians. There's no way I can finish it, because Ephesians 1 is the whole Bible in one chapter. All right, listen. After they're full of the Holy Ghost in verse 14, which will absolutely keep them until the day of redemption. When the day of redemption comes, this is all over. The Holy Ghost dispensation is over. Nobody else is filled from that time on. Now he says this, wherefore I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks, you make mention of my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. They didn't have it. You don't pray for what you got. For what a man sees that he had hope for? No! So they didn't have it. Well, you say, Brother Bill, that's the Holy Ghost that they should have. They already had the Holy Ghost. That's Pentecost. So verse 14, chapter 15 on is not Pentecost. He said, you folk full of the Holy Ghost need something else. Because you've just got a modicum that's in you. You've got the sperm of the Father in you. That's what you got. The infinitesimal portion, the sperm of a man which contains life, 15,000 go across the cross section of one hair, 15,000 little spirits of life. Want to measure my hair? There's 15,000 lives across the cross section where sperm put there. That's how much of God you get one at a time. And the male ejaculate, I hear by science so-called, which God knows of the man quoted science, it'll go 4 million miles into space if they're laid side by side, one male could produce. But that's not the male, that's just life. Now it says the life giver. Of God the Father, God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Now he's asking for God to do something else that wasn't done previously. Now here's what happens. the eyes of understanding being enlightened. You made it the hope of his calling. The rich, the glorious inheritance of the saints. And what is exceeding greatness of his power to westward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ and raised the dead. When that spirit comes here, he's going to give you a revelation, and then he's going to raise the dead, and he's going to take us all away. Now, has it happened? Yes, he's here now. Oh, well, I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm going to preach a final sermon to end it. It happened to me. Do you want me to bring you the sermon? I wouldn't want to put Jack on the spot. I wouldn't say he didn't have guts to do it. He's got more than enough guts to do it. I wouldn't put him on the spot. Mom gives me sometime at your own expense, of course. I'll play for you. We heard enough of this low guy. Come on! I'm telling you the truth, Beaumont. Don't sit here smug. The axe will fall on you, too. He prayed for that spirit. It couldn't come. Any more than that which is perfect could come. Any more than perfection could come. Couldn't come. Wasn't time. Why? Because it wasn't time for the resurrection. I want to ask you a question. You know your Bible's here. You should by now. Who raises the dead? God raises the dead. And who's going to be here to raise us? God. Who came down to Abraham? Elohim. Who nourished Abraham? Melchizedek. Who is he? Elohim. Who's here? Elohim. Crater squirrels. Oh, well, I've heard enough of it. Oh, that's just a little peripheral doctrine like the thunders in the wrist. Oh, that's heresy. Oh, that's blasphemy. You people think I don't have my grapevine to know what's going on. Don't kid yourselves. They're only too happy to tell me. And I'm only too happy to tell you. Because it's my job to warn you. And I get up there and you're up there. If you're on the wrong side of the white throne, that's your business, not mine. I don't intend to be on the wrong side. Because I've cleared my soul and my life of the blood of all people I've stood before, and I'm ready to go. You may not think so, but I'm ready to go. And I'm not faking myself, don't worry. Let's go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. And in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that's made thoroughly manifest, then shall you be made manifest in glory. I want to ask you, was he made manifested? Did God come down and prove who he was? Well, you'll have been in doubt of that tonight, maybe, huh? Well, we got 6 more hours here to talk to you. Try to prove something. I'm not going to waste my time. By now, you know it or you don't know it, and I care less. That's your business, not mine. I know he was here. I know he's proven. Look, I was backslidden when I saw the prophet. Spun my life right around. You're not backslidden, I hope, anyway. Should be easy to spin your life around. You shouldn't have a bit of trouble. I was hard in the proverbial hubs of hell. I ran every preacher off the place. I said, get out. I preached for years and all about you guys. That's hard. Well, I wasn't robbing banks. Didn't have the guts. I never ran with women. I had a good wife. Why should I run with women? Never drank. Why should I drink? I got enough troubles now. Smoke? Who needs it? All my sins are rotten, dirty, miserable little cruddy ones. Never had any good, decent sins. Just those lousy ones. My wife will tell you that. Spun me right around. 3,000 people sitting there. I'm the only one I know that heard him say, make the challenge. Guarantee 24 healings or whether it's 25, one of the two. Then saw every single person healed by the power of God, and only Jesus in the Bible ever healed them all until William Branham came on the scene. The kingdom of God was nigh because devils were cast out. And he took them under his control, everyone, said, shut up, do this, do that, or the other thing. And they stood there and trembled. And he said to the man, he said, Satan, because you have come against the servant, about the most servant of the Most High God, he said, you're going to crumble and fall over my feet. And the snail, just like a serpent, he waved over Brother Branham's feet. And they had to have men pull him off. He challenged the servant of the Most High God. Elijah stood there, and the devil stood there, and the devil fell down trembling. So devils cast out. The kingdom of God has come nigh. They said, when's the kingdom of God going to come? He said, it's already here. It's under your nose. It's in the midst of you, but you can't see it. The king is here. You say, no, Brother Beth. Yes, yes, yes. They put him on the fold of an ass. And they strewed the palms and said, Hosanna to the King of Israel. And he said, amen and amen, I'm that king. He was that king. Don't tell me he wasn't. You read your Bibles. Listen, brother, I know my subject. Don't tell me I don't. And I know that God, who is the subject. Oh, yeah. See, Brother Vail, I don't like you. I don't like myself either. That makes us even. What have you got to say now? Do you love yourself? Do you sit there fooled? That Satan's Eve can come by and twist you anyway with his seductions? I read you the history of Josephus said about Jesus. Every time he went to Jerusalem, he's like a bone in a china shop. Tore through the temple like a tornado. Yeah. 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it has never yet appeared. That word is phanero, which means come into absolute proof. What we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, that is absolute, show who he is without contradiction, so there is nobody coming in the disguise, that this is absolutely that one, because many people can appear in the disguise and appear to be something else, but when this one appears, it's proven who he was. And time after time, the prophet said, if he is risen from the dead, and the same yesterday, day, and forever, and he's here now, he'll do the very same things he did when he was back there and took us all the way back to Elohim before Abraham. And took us right back to serpent seed in the garden. Stood right there and proved it. And he was made manifest. And said, at that hour, you're going to be made manifest too. Now how? It says, we shall see him and be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Get him out of here. I don't want to see him. Oh, that's passé. Oh, that's just a doctrine going to split the brethren. Oh, we're so wonderful, we just shy away from it. Hi, wonderful people. It's been wonderful not knowing you. Certainly I'm sarcastic. You know what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you down to where you're going to see something. It's not going to be my fault if you don't see it. Because I'll give you, I'll tell you jokes. I'll come down back to your head. I'll do anything I can to make you see there's something wrong with a person who says, so what? And then say they believe in a prophet and believe this message. And talk about a rapture and a resurrection. And say, well, you know, that's just a doctrine. Is he a doctrine? I thought he was God. I thought God was here. Because if he's not here, the prophet lies. Because he said that great one had to come down and be on earth when he was here. That's what he... I tell you, young people, if there's nothing to this, go on out and sin tonight. You say, Brother Vail, don't say that. Paul said it. If there's nothing to this, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for if this isn't it? 2,000 more years, because that's what it's going to be. Read your history. Don't sit under a preacher any longer. Start looking for yourself. You've been fooled. You've been bamboozled. You wasted your money. Why pay your tithe? Go on and booze it or something. Maybe like me, you don't like booze. There's other things. Roast turkey. Took a lot of bars up where I am, eat $20 meals and go waste like a stuffed hog and spit and hawk all next day with sinus and everything else, the tummy ache and whatever. What's the difference? Eat and then tickle your throat and vomit and eat some more. You get mad at somebody, run them down with a car or something. What's the difference? They'll put you in jail. You have a nice time anyway. You can see TV free. I'm just trying to let you know what you can do. Because you see, he's not here. Because you see, he's got to be here. The Lord himself descends with a shout. He descends and descendeth come down. Oh, you say, but descend means up there. You've got to be crazy. If that's the case, the Bible said he descended into hell. That's a lie. He didn't descend at all. And when it said he that descended, ascended, that's a lie because he didn't descend. And if the whole thing's a lie, forget it. The prophet said he was here. The word of God says he's got to be here. Well, you say, I wish I could see him. You'll never see him. You done missed it. Because the prophet said, what your natural vision cannot see, what you cannot see with your natural eyes, I tell you by vision, he is here. Well, he said that was just a momentary thing. Was it? Then how is it going to be raised? He's got to come back again. Up, down, up. You've got a yo-yo now. Because if he does all three in descending, he came down with a shout, he's gone away again, he comes down and raised the dead, and then he leaves us here, and he goes up, and he comes down and takes us out. That's not what Brother Branham said. He said, 1, 2, 3. Shout, voice, trumpet. Come on, get the rapture tape. And he said, thus it has been spoken, thus it will be. Why? Because he's here. Now, the question is, did Brother Branham decrease? He certainly did. And who's increasing? All right, let's go to Christ the mystery God reveals. First of all, God reveals himself. Secondly, he gets a preeminence. And third, he takes us back to Eden. What if he never gets preeminence? He sets himself the head of the church to raise the dead. What if we don't recognize our head? Now, Brother Branham said that the bride must... He said, how it was said is that... He appears... I wish I could quote. I'm just lousy at quoting, but it's the trumpets anyway. How she knows her mate, that she must know her mate, the revealed word. That's how the rapture takes place. Are you quoted, Jack? It's in my briefcase. We'll get it. If you need the quote, they'll get it. I'll give it to them before night. I've got it for you. Don't worry. I'm not lying to you. Listen. You got to see him to be like him. To get your change to get out of here. All right. Now nobody's changed yet, right? And you believe you're going to be in a rapture? Then how are you going to see him? He's not here to be seen. What do you say, Brother Branham said the flesh of the Holy Spirit today is the Word? That's exactly right. But here's the point. If the flesh of the Holy Spirit is the Word and the Word is here, the flesh is here, then what else is here? The Spirit is here. Then he's here. Maybe I'm just crazy. Who knows? Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. Forget it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to close quick as we can. Listen. Verse 18, but we all with open face, unveiled faces, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord. Are changed the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we faint not. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but renounce the hidden things of so on and so on. Now listen. It said here, for God who commanded the light to shine in darkness has shined into our hearts to give them light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now it tells you right there that Spirit comes into the church in the book of Ephesians, and this tells you what happens. The Spirit of God that comes into the church in Revelation is Word, clothed in that Word. And that light from that Word shining upon you begins to change you. Begins to make you immortal. He's got to be here to do it. See? This is the thing that people don't understand. That when Jesus Christ came here in the flesh, now listen to me carefully so you'll understand what I'm saying. When he came, when God was manifest in the flesh, when he came here, taking him on himself, a human body. Now listen. He came into the form of a man that was born of the womb of the Virgin Mary. That body is not God. The attributes, the form of the attributes of God. The attribute is not the attributor. It is what comes from the attributor. And so he stood there, Logos, the attributes of God, which formed the vessel for the blood, making it the blood of God because it's the attributes. Just like you are the attributes of your father, what Brother Branham said, coming from the sperm and the egg. But the fullness of your parents wasn't in you. There's no way they could be. Because there's 23 chromosomes and 1,250 genes. And they can multiply in a number of one that's followed by 36 zeros. But when God took a form, all the attributes were in him. He was different from Adam. He's different from everybody. You see? All right now. That one was indwelt by Elohim. And when they looked on him, they could handle him, say, we handle the Word, we handle the attributes. And Jesus said, he that sees me has actually seen the Father. Now that's what we're looking at here. In this particular case, what we have before us, this one that comes into the church in the time of the end, this is Elohim. This is the same one that showed himself in those attributes that was Almighty God. Now it's in this word that is quickened. It is no longer a word. It is reality. And he is here. And the light of the revelation striking us has a profound effect upon us. And Brother Branham said, when you receive that word, you become the word of God in your flesh. And he said that the life that is in those cells begins, the cells begin to form around it. See what I'm trying to tell you? All right, listen, if he's not here, it isn't going to work. Because the only time it will work is when he's here. So they say, well, hallelujah, he came at Pentecost. Just keep on talking, Pentecostal brother. You and I have nothing more to say to each other. I'll shake your hand, that's fine. I'll say God bless you and mean and hope that he will. But I have nothing to say to you, and you have nothing to say to me. Leave me to my folly, I will leave you to yours. Now you say, Brother Vail, that's pretty blunt. I can't be anything else but what do you want me to be? You think I'm going to stand in the middle of the road and get hit by a car? Be run over by the devil? I've made my commitment. It's changed my life. Listen, Malachi 3:16 to 18. You know what it says. That's because of Malachi 4 to 6. Because Elijah is here. And Elijah cannot be without God because he distinctly says, behold, the day cometh that shall burn like an oven. And ye all the proud and all the wicked shall, shall be a stubble. Leaving neither root nor branch, going to burn it all up. But he said, unto you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise. The same God is here to arise upon us in immortality, which is the same God that destroys the world. It's not another God. And he said, Elijah will be there to be my reflector. And Brother Branham said, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he said, not a thing about being the thorn-pierced hands, the thorn-pierced brow, the nail-pierced hands and the thorn-pierced brow. But he said, he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, clothed in the word of Almighty God. Listen, we can never give enough preeminence. If I have a gift and you have a gift, if we have anything from God, it should be blended and sent to this one order that we are lifting him up. I want to ask you a question. Can you believe for 1 minute the prophet of God knew God in the way he did without God being present? You say, well, Brother Vail, I believe when Brother Branham went, the Spirit went. Is that a fact? The prophet said, we are Caleb and Joshua. He said, you, the bride, are Caleb and Joshua. Our Joshua is the Holy Spirit. Does it surprise you for 1 minute that God changes his mask? Well, he does, you know. You know that God went from a prophet to a captain of the host of Israel? That's right, he stands amongst us. Brother Branham said categorically 3 times the scripture Jesus says, in that day you'll know I'm in the Father, you and me, and I and you. He said, that was at Pentecost, that is this hour, and that is at the white throne. We're all one because of that once was a sin. Now listen, now we behold him. I hope you saw the scripture come together. Israel out of Egypt, ready to go in, load the manna. Couldn't stand the same food day after day. Pined for the old food. They couldn't stand to savor the fresh oil. They said, this fresh oil bugs me. That's what they said. Because it tasted like fresh oil of coriander. And they said, we can't stand fresh oil. But we can sure stand the onions. They couldn't stand what took away the B.O. and the stink. But they could sure stand what made the stink. Can't put new wine in old bottles. Then came the true manna from heaven, even Jesus. And they couldn't stand his revelation of himself. They couldn't stand his presence. So they killed him. And he is here again today. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's see if he is. Let's find out. Come on. Come on, let's see if he's gone. Let's see if it doesn't mean anything to us or does mean something. Well, you see, Brother Vail. Don't Brother Vail me. Go to your scripture. Come on, be a man. Be a woman. Pharisees came and said, the kingdom of God, when does the kingdom of God come? He said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. He tells them, finish. It's going to be here and you can't see it. And they'll say, lo there and lo there. He said, don't bother running. Because if you can't see it under your nose, and that's where it is, you'll never see it. Because wherever you go, you take your nose with you. If you got the right kind of nose, you'll smell him. If you got the wrong kind of nose, you want to smell crow food. Dog food is Christ. Am I getting to you? Sure, tough luck. He said to his disciples, "A day will come when you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and not see it." He was saying that to his disciples, but he did not say to them personally. What he said to them personally was this. He said, "I am going to die, but those days are going to repeat on earth, and the days will repeat at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, just before world destruction." Now listen. He said here at the very toward the end, "I tell you," and he said, "even thus will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." That word is apocalypsis, which means a complete revelation. In Matthew 25, it is present. So he is present to be revealed. Now watch what happens. It says, "In that time," he said, "there'll be two in a bed, two men in a bed, one taken, one left. Two women grinding, one taken, one left. Two in a field, one taken, one left." And they said, "Where, Lord?" And he said, "Wherever the body is, soma, the true carcass, the true body, the eagles will be gathered." Now I'm going to ask you a question. Where is the true body then? Because they're going to be gathered. Brother Van said they'd be gathered. And he didn't say up there. He put it here. They're going to be gathered right around Christ. Paul said, "By our gathering together," in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the first verse. And he said, "That's the message." He said, "That's the shout. We're being gathered right now." He said, "I said, how often did I gather you? I sent you prophets." He even sent a prophet to let you know everything about it, because I've got to use a prophet. When I'm there, I have got to use a prophet. When I am there, I have got to use a prophet. And if that kind of a prophet is there, then I am there. Prophet, God. God, prophet. No prophet. No God. No God, no prophet. He said, "They're on earth at the same time." And he said, "He must increase and I must decrease." Tell me who's increasing. Well, tell me. Give me an answer. If you don't believe he's here, tell me who's going to increase. Oh, you're going to increase? Wonderful. Give me some signs. You'll get fatter and fatter eating the junk food of this world. And Brother Branham said it's no good, so your body's going to be full of mush, and your brain will get full of mush. So I don't want you. I don't want your increase. Goodbye, Charlie. And you'd be stupid to want my increase. I've got nothing to give you. He must increase. Who is he? Okay. Failed in the word, absolutely. See? Now, 17:30 tells us. Now, Matthew 24 is different. This is the rapture. The other is the fan in his hand separating. Now, listen, does he do all three things in descending? You bet he does. Shout, voice, trumpet. All right, I want to ask you a question. Was he here to give the word? Yes. Then will he be here to raise it? You bet he does. Shout, voice, trumpet. All right, I want to ask you a question. Was he here to give the word? Yes. Then will he be here to raise the dead? Yes. Will he be here to take us up? Yes. And Brother Branham said, when that one that's amongst you becomes incarnated to you, he said, you'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the waiting supper. Where is he tonight? He's here right now. He said, Brother Bill, put us somewhere between here and Africa. Listen, I'm not a magician. I'm not God. I'm not a prophet. I'm only telling what the prophet said. He is here. He is here for a bride. I haven't got every answer, but I got this answer. He's here. He's present amongst us. Listen, the fullness is here, Brother Branham said he was, and from the feet up. I challenge you. You get out all the books. The spoken word has been wrong every year that there was ever printed by anybody in spoken word. They've got the capstone with nothing in between. Brother Branham said, see those little lines coming down? Why didn't they put the little lines coming down? Because when the little lines don't come down anymore, there's nothing left to come down, so the rest of it comes down. Because Brother Branham said, God pours it all into Christ and Christ pours into the church. So you see, the capstone is down. Spiritual. And it was from the feet up. So when the body is complete, the body of truth is complete, as far as seven church ages are concerned, then the head from whence it came has got to come down. And Brother Branham categorically stated that to be true. And he said, this ministry must be identical to bring the head down. And the ministry was identical. And God identified himself. And he could come right down at the seals. And he said, there he is. The whole thing's over now. I'm here. And the last few people brought in come right around that head. And you see, the last thing that moves is the eye, the prophet. And above it is the mind. Remember what I told you on Sunday? Everybody said, oh, Brother Branham had a great vision. And he said, I'm changed. I'll never be the same again. You forgot what he said. He said, my thinking will never be the same again. Read it for yourself and find out. It's
spiritual revelation. Elohim is here. The fullness is here. All in all is here. What else can we do but think and speak of Him? What else is there to do? If we really understand and believe it, we are consumed with His love. Let me tell you something. I've never loved the Lord as I love Him this hour. You say, Brother Dale, then you weren't too hot. Well, you show me how hot you were. You don't even know what I know. Because I've got to get there. Where does it put you? The pot can't call kettle black. I just want to tell you something. It's not what people think. They always think opposite. The prophet said they always think opposite. Always looking forward. Always looking back. Never know what's going on. Always put her someplace else. He said it is not character. It is not fruit. It is not the charismatic. It's not nearness to God. It's not obedience. None of those things. What is it? He said, my thinking will never be the same again. Huh? That's what he said. Neither trouble rests with us. Relaxation under the seventh seal. Yeah? He's here. He's here, brother, sister. You bet he is. Came from the foot up. All the way through. Brother Branham said, look, he said that image was from the head down, gold all the way down. We come from feet up. I want to ask you a question. Then if we come from feet up, who's our head? Where's the Pope amongst us? Come on, let's elect some people in this message. How about some of you folks electing somebody? Come on, stand up. Have the guts to nominate somebody. I challenge you. I challenge you. I'm looking you all in the eye tonight. Hear me, you people in Beaumont. Look me in the eye. Stand up and nominate somebody. I challenge you. Come on. Come on. Come on. But you had what it took. Said, here's cowards in him. Have we got cowards amongst us? Did you can't give us a head? Well, come on. You know who's our head. Then you sit there and deny it. Or do you? This is going to cost you plenty, brother, sister, to believe the way I believe. Cost you plenty. Costing me plenty. I've paid more a price than any of you. Because I get the full brunt of all the blame. I've been accused of running around the world and Leave Vale runs nowhere. I wouldn't even be here, but I made a promise. But you better believe there's no promise for any other meeting. So don't try to kid yourself. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to hear from Him by the grace of God. I want to tell you something. He's here. Because if He isn't here, the prophet lied. I'm going to ask you a question. If He isn't here, who is? Yeah? The floor is still open for nomination. Don't nominate me because you're all wet. I'm going to go home and hope to sit by the window. We've got 150 pounds of bird seed and some nice, lovely sunflower seeds. We love the cardinals. I might even go back and buy a few spruce trees because they like evergreens. Put them right where I can see him and watch the birds come in and feed the birds and think about Him who loved me. It's all that matters is my beloved. Yeah, I'm tender-hearted as fuck. You be. I'm sentimental. Yeah, I just got to think of lovely people in love. Love of God, I can go like a mushy as a marshmallow over a hot fire. I think of that nature out there calling. Birds dying. Earth dying. And I see Him who is that great creator stand amongst us. One day those birds won't cry anymore. Those animals won't cry. The nature won't cry. We won't cry. No. Who's going to do it if He doesn't do it? Maybe you got some great impersonal God. I don't know. I don't have a great impersonal God. For 2 years of heartache and anguish in my deepest, loneliest hours, I've had Him walk and talk with me. Known grace as I've never known grace and love as I've never known love. No, Lee Bell's just as cruddy and ornery, corny as ever, just like Abraham. When changed back to a young man who could fight with both fists bare knuckle now again, made his wife lie for me. I'm just as rotten or rottener. In fact, I'm a whole lot rottener. I know that. I can tell you that guy ain't no prophet. They're the closest thing to God there ever was. But He's here, brother, sister. He came with the word to those that He already indwells by His Spirit, because only the elect will see Him. Nobody else is going to see Him. It's impossible.
He said, many people have longed for this day. He said, the prophets longed for it, for the prophets in law were little John. He said, they all talked about it, they all longed for it, but he said, you're seeing it. The beloved John wrote, and he said, beloved, now are we the sons of God? He said, make no mistake about it, but he said, he's got to appear, and when he appears, we're going to be like him. 2,000 years we waited, and he's appeared, and he's here to be beheld. He's here knocking at the door. When did he say, I'm going to leave you, open the door, and we'll have a little quick talk, and then I'll take off? When did he say it? And the preacher say, well, it's just a doctrine. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. I'm not a prophet. And I'm going to add to the prophet, and I'm not afraid to add to him. I'm going to say this. If the prophet said, you city that calls yourself by the name of the angels, you'll be worse off than Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me say this to the whole North American continent. For William Branham, prophet of God, the Elijah of our hour, was born and went back and forth in this continent like a shuttle back and forth. Don't you even look at California. You better look at the whole of America. Because before Brother Branham even uttered one prophecy about Los Angeles, which is merely a tiny part of America, he said in 56, I don't pray for America anymore. She's gone. So I add my words to his words. Yeah. Los Angeles, you're gone. But don't think Beaumont is safe. And don't think DeGraff Ryan is safe. And don't think Fort Walton Beach is safe. And don't think Tucson is safe, or Jeffersonville is safe, or Edmonton is safe, or any place else is safe. It's safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. There by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. He's here, brother, sister. Not as he was at Pentecost, not as he was at any other time, but he's here today. He's here today, descended. He's there in that voice. Shout, he's there in that voice. And I believe it won't be long till even that voice is consummated. And it won't be long till even the trumpet is gone. All I can say is to those who hate this man, they loathe it. I don't want to hear anymore. I preached 30 hours on that one, about 30 hours on him being the judge, the great transition period. The judge of all the earth that stood there, and he said to Abraham, I'm going to tell you, Abraham. He said, because I can trust you, you're my friend. I walk with you and I talk with you. You recognize me when I came down, you stood there. I'm going to tell you all about it, Abraham. I'm going to go down now. It's time for destruction. And Abraham said, can I have a word with you? And he said, sure, sure. He said, we always talk together. It's okay. I want you to have a word with me. Abraham said, he said, now for 50 people, you wouldn't destroy 50 righteous. He said, no, no, Abraham. He said, for 50 people, there's no way I would destroy. Well, he said, now peradventure, he said, I don't want to get too strong here, but he said, shall not the judge of all the earth be right? He said, surely the righteous will not perish with the wicked. He said, what could we get down to maybe 40? Why, he said, for 40? Absolutely, there's no problem. You see, God will never destroy the righteous with the wicked. No. Now he said, I'm come on down. He's here, brother, sister. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive mean. Shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. What's he talking about? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou in my right hand, and make enemies thy footstool. Yeah. Yeah, the son opened that book. He said, it's all over. Now the last ones are coming in. Capstone is on down here spiritually speaking. The court will soon fill with smoke, the whole temple, but it's not ready yet because they're not all in. And there's 144,000 yet, you know. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about one thing. Is he here and I'm missing him? Because you see, he's got to descend with the shout. Brother Ben said, when you see God come down to heaven, stand before men and declare himself as ever he did, and this Bible opened before me. Why, he said, he's been present here for several years. He said, he's great presence in grace and mercy. He said, the next time he appears, now listen, in grace and mercy at this appearing, I want to ask you, is there still grace and mercy? And he's still appearing. He's still here, right? Oh, well, Brother Dale, I'm just tired of that food. I can't stand them anymore. I can't stand Logos anymore. I can't stand that talking. Why don't you preach about something else? You tell me what to preach about. Because you see, I want to preach the very best I can about the very best thing I can. Then let's talk about the devil. Well, you might as well, because he's the next best thing. You say, how do you make that comparison? Because Jesus said there's none good but God. So if you want me to talk about the good one, I'll talk about the next best one. You've got to be the bad one. What'll I say about him? Shall I introduce him to you tonight? Shall I talk about his presence? Shall I cue you in how to serve him? Oh, you say, Brother Dale, hey, hold it. You see what I'm trying to get across to you? What else is there to talk about but him? I get very nervous thinking about the enemy. I get very happy thinking about him. That's right. Heavenly Father, you know my heart. You know the hearts of these people. You know I know and they know that I'm not trying to scalp anybody. That's a particular vendetta against anybody. But you also know that I'm fighting for my life, and my life is Christ. And though I cannot fight his battles, I cannot fight your battles, Lord. I know one thing, if I do not speak up, then I will be in condemnation. For Brother Branham himself, your great prophet, knowing predestination and sovereignty to the extent he said that you know every flea that ever be created, how many times he'd bat his eyes and how many would take to make a pound of tallow. And I can do no less than believe. And I can do no less than he'd open my mouth and raise my voice even as he did, because he said somebody has to tell them, somebody's got to raise a voice. Elsewhere would there be a judgment? Else how could anybody even be saved except that word go forth? Someone had to raise a voice. For as your own servant said, he could have used the sun, the moon, the wind, the stars, he could have used the rushing water, but he used man. By the foolishness of preaching. And men heard your great prophet and they called it ranting and raving. And men heard those great dissertations. As the Holy Spirit in angelic form came every day with seven mighty visitations and gave you that absolute illumination which checked 100% with the word. And they went away and said, phooey, forget it. Couldn't stand it. But you know, we who were there were so hungry and we were so happy. We scintillated, we joyed, we rejoiced. And it's never left us. And now today, Lord, the fruit is coming and we're so glad. We're so glad, Lord, that word is being formed within us so that the flesh on tonight leaves here with any darkened mind at all, but knows, look, if this is real in Brother Branham's day, it is real now, because the dead have not been raised, the voice has not been completed, the trumpet has not gone. It is all here in you tonight, and you are here. I can't explain it, Lord, but I know it's true. I know your word is true. I know it's revealed there by your prophet. He said so. I can't change it, and Lord, I wouldn't want to change it, because I can see it happening. See the revelation coming within the hearts of men and women, knowing as I've never known before. And we're so grateful now, Lord, forgive me for anything I've said that was of myself, if there be such a thing, or in my own spirit or in my own anger or anything else. Lord, I stand culpable, I stand blamable, for Lord, you know that your child here does not in any way take any grace unto himself, as though he has a liberty that he can take in presumption and say, God, you got to back me up. No, Lord, I am sorry for anything that was done in any way, shape, or form. Lord, you blotted out of my heart, their hearts, everybody's heart. I won't say take it off the tape because I'm too weak in faith, but Lord, you could even do that. You could have caused that thing to miss. Any way, shape, and form you have wanted, Lord. I know it's been done before. It can be done again, Lord. Not wanting to hurt anybody, O God, but wanting them to know once and for all which side is it. Loving or loathing, there isn't any in between. And O God, with the wrong influence, your very people going into that promised land, they're typing our Exodus and going in, got riled up by those roundabout and carried away with their emulations until they said, we loathe it too. Oh God, what did they loathe? Where was their comparison? Merciful God, can I compare this with yesteryear, what I went through in Pentecost and Baptist and Presbyterian and Methodist, the whole shebang? Lord, can I compare? Father, there isn't any comparison. There is no way do I even want to think about it. But I want to think about you. Now, Lord, fill my way every day with love. Your love based upon that word, then unto fellow men, where it comes forth into compassion, but even the desire unto death to help my brethren.
no thought of destruction, but one of building and edification. So, Lord, if I have been any way destructive, forgive me. I could be, Lord, because I'm that kind of a person and I know it. But, Lord, tonight you're the great edifier. And I prayed that you would help and take over. Maybe I didn't pray in faith. I sure hope I did. But I pray now in faith, Lord, for you. Out of the depths of my soul, O God, wherein I have failed, you will not fail. There is no way. Your prophet admitted to mistakes, disobedience, this, that, and the other thing. We're every one of us in a bad shape, but we've got one who stands for us, who never made a mistake, who's not in a bad shape. And we've got you here, Lord, the very one who can take death and turn it into life. And we know that's what's going on tonight, O God. And I have prayed to that end, Lord. And I pray for the people here, and may everyone, Lord, don't let one boy, one young boy, one young girl go astray. Let not one, Lord, deviate one little bit from the majesty of your presence until every single one of us are so imbued with that presence as was the prophet. Lord, I don't know we can get that far. I don't pray to get that far. I only pray, Lord, let me in my measure receive that same reverence and sincerity and respect and consideration, Lord, that he had, not in his measure, but in my own little measure. And I know you hear me, Lord. I know you love me, and I know it's coming. I know you promised that love that's coming into the bride. I know you promised all those things, Lord, and I am perfectly at ease concerning it. At least I believe that I am as far as I have gone. And I am so thankful for it, Lord. And I thank you for everybody here in whose heart your spirit is, and everyone being illuminated, O God, everyone standing with you, not with what I say, Lord. No way, no shape or form. If I'm wrong, Lord, blot everything out of their minds. I will stand before you and take my judgment, O God. I'm willing, Lord, tonight on what I see and what I stand for. I'm willing, Lord. So I commend myself and the people unto you, O God. I surely do. Not just because there's nothing else to do. No way, Lord, because it is the thing to do. Oh, it is so right to commend the love and grace of our God. And unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing that chorus, "Let It Shine on Me." Let it shine on me, because that's what it's all about. He's here to shine on us, standing in the presence of the Son. How can you stand in his presence if he's not here? If that presence was the same presence of 2,000 years, why hasn't a rapture taken place? Why hasn't it? See, you got to understand the prophet. One of the major things he ever said was the Word of God coming in part. And that, and the Spirit of God given in the same measure. See? He said, "Fill you up the cup of iniquity. If the cup of iniquity can be filled up, then the body of Christ can be filled up." Oh, praise God. Look, we're not lost sheep wandering around here. I might have been tough on you tonight, but take care. That's all over now. I'll give you any kind of a back of the hand I could to wake you up and try to help you. Now you can smile and feel good. I'm through preaching, at least I think I am. I don't know. What time is it? Oh, we got 2 hours. An hour and a half to go. Was it Thanksgiving tomorrow? Are you sleeping tomorrow? I was just going to kid you. I was going to say, sit down and I'll preach another hour and a half. No, I won't do that. All right. Shine on me. Shine on me. Let shine on me. Let the light from the lamp shine on me. Shine on me. Let it shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Sing it again. Shine on me. Oh, shine on me. The light from the lighthouse shine. If you've seen that beacon of light, you can come right to it, brother, sister. It's going to take you home.
Brother Branham said that those chariots of fire, those flying saucers, he said, don't be afraid. One day they'll take you home. He's here to take us home, brother, sister. Don't you worry. That light hasn't shone in vain. People tell you, prophet said, sit in the sun or lie in the sun and ripen. They'll paraphrase and say, well, he didn't say lie there and rot. Why change the word of God? In his presence, you're going to ripen. There's no rotting here. Sing it again. Coming home. Yes, sir, there's a beacon light tonight to guide us. He never put us in somebody else's hands. He came down to save Adam and Eve. Got the way of redemption. He's here to bring us back. Don't tell me somebody else is going to do it. God never committed this to somebody else. He made a way. Yes, sir. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, bore him in his arms up on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's the same God that's doing that to you and me tonight. Fear not, little flock. As Brother Branham said, there's someone here that can turn on the light. And the light has been turned on. Sing it again and come home for the last time. Make up your mind. Coming. Home. Coming. Sing it, going home this time. Going. Yes, we're going home. Do you believe that? Come on, we're going home. You're not earthbound anymore, brother, sisters. You're not a bunch of chickens. Come on. When the great eagle screamed, just come on up with me. You're going to take us up higher. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm going home. Think Jesus never fails because he doesn't. That's what we want to know tonight. You got a never failing God. That's what Israel got all messed up. Can he provide this? Can he provide that? Listen, it's already provided. Coming day. Jesus never fails.
Never fails. Jesus never fails.
It's going to pass away, brother.
And shall pass away, but Jesus never fails.
Okay, wonderful Thanksgiving Day tomorrow. Try to get your preach tomorrow night. If you call a preaching, I'll be trying to do it. Don't say I do my best. Just hope I don't do my worst. Or much worse than anybody else. But Thanksgiving tomorrow, you know, this could be the last Thanksgiving Day. Yeah, I hope so. That is to say, a national celebration. Really, every day is a Thanksgiving Day. No, really, I mean, that's just the fact. But may the Lord bless you, give you good night's rest. If you're home with your families, may the Lord give you a wonderful day as a family unit. May you have the realization tomorrow that God provided a way. I don't know how he's done it, but the prophet said, don't worry about your children. Just ply the token and claim. You say, well, looks like those kids have done beat it off. We've got problems. Look, there's nobody doesn't have problems, but God's a great problem solver. He didn't say, well, look, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to fail at the end time. He didn't say, I've taken away my promise. He said, I'm going to fulfill every last one of them. The hour of fulfillment, where my people should never be ashamed. You know, no wonder we want to get out of here. See, for the first time, you're going to be who you really were. For the first time, every longing of your heart is about to be met. I want to ask you, who's going to do it? The one that's here, that's it. Let's go sing and take the name of Jesus with you. The Lord bless you.